No, but when did you... When did you find out that you that Roger wasn't going to be playing, and how did that all work?
During the doubles match. That's when I found out, and well, I did my warm up, and obviously prepared for the battle, prepared for a great match, as it was anticipated, as the people expected it to be, and the last match of the season, I was ready to give it all, and I'm sure he was ready too. To give it all if he could. I spoke to him, and as I understand, he gave up, retired a match maybe, what, 3 times in his career in over 1,000 matches, so you know, you cannot blame him, and sure that he would play World Tour Finals if he could. This is probably the first time in the history that this happens, and it's very awkward situation to talk about it, to be honest, today, and never like to win, especially these big matches against big rivals with the retirement. But that's the way it is.
Novak, in 2000, it's not the same situation. But many times you had Davis Cup, U.S. Open. You know, it's too much. You need more rest, but it's impossible. How can you solve this?
Well, the schedule is. Is such that it doesn't really go into the favor of the players who are doing very well in Davis Cup, let's say, and who are playing in the later stages of all the major events. And I've experienced that in my own skin in the last couple of years, and I did experience a few times some bad injuries that kept me away from the tour because I've played so many matches. But again, I'm not the first or the last player to have this schedule, and it's the way it is for now. We have to deal with it.
Can you talk us through a little how the exhibition with Andy came about? Like, were you asked to do it? Did you know right away you're going to be playing Andy? How did you feel about doing it?
Look, you know, I was as surprised as probably you were, guys, when you heard the news. I was in my locker room. I was doing the routine that I do always before my matches, and I received the news during the doubles, and then we started talking about possibilities and what we can do in order to save this day in some way, you know, to because the people were already there, were watching, and the stadium was always full, and you know, they wanted to see some singles match, and luckily, Andy was in London, and I want to thank him for coming out and making an effort, because it really is an effort. You know, it's amazing that I know how it feels when you finish the season as he did on Thursday, and then, you know, it's probably not the last thing he's thinking about is tennis now. You know, he wants to rest after a long season, and then he receives a call and comes out and plays an hour, and now he's still playing doubles. So. It's very genuine from him, and I tried also to play, and I thought we played on a good level, and hope the crowd enjoyed, because there was not much you can do really. So on the ceremony as well, I didn't feel so comfortable. Again, receiving that trophy, of course, I know that I've had a great season, and I'm very proud to be holding the trophy. But the way things happened today was definitely awkward.
No, Novak, it may not have mattered, it probably wouldn't have mattered with Roger, but is there any sense to the idea of maybe putting the semis in one session, not having that long gap, and not having one of them finished much, much later than the early one, in terms of fairness going forward?
You have the fair point there. That can be a solution, because there is a gap. Usually in the group stage matches, there is... you know, obviously the schedule is such that you play one singles match at 2, 1, and 8, and then you have doubles before those singles matches. And then there is always, you know, probably 2-3 hours gap when there are no matches on center court. But I think that they can decrease that gap. I agree with you.
There's a lot of lopsided matches throughout the tournament. Though both matches yesterday were pretty close, now there's no finals. There's probably a lot of fans who are. Just had higher expectations for the week than wound up what happening. What would you, is that fair for people to be disappointed in the week, and what would you say to those who are?
Yes, I mean, I understand people. I understand speculations about, you know, the whole week in general and what has happened. And we had probably two, maybe three matches that that went the distance, that went over an hour. And, but this is something that you cannot predict. Obviously, this is World Tour Finals, and I'm sure that every single player, especially the ones that were losing those matches, you know, in an hour, didn't do that on purpose. You know, they were trying their best, and some, this is sport. It's the way it is, and in individual sports, you know, you're by yourself on the court if you're having a bad day, and nobody can really substitute you, nobody can help you. And, not many times has happened throughout the history that you have you know, this amount of matches finished up under an hour or around an hour. But you know, again, it's not something that is going to happen, I'm sure, every year.
If you were in the same shoes as Roger, obviously you're not in his body, but going into a Davis Cup final, his first, a little bit of something going on. Can you imagine what you might have done in the same situation?
As I said, you know, the stats are saying clearly that he is one of those players that would compete and would always fight if he can. So he has had what, three retirements in his entire career. So I don't think he was calculating and trying to save his body for Davis Cup final. Sure that wasn't the case. This is probably one of the biggest matches of the year for him as well as for me. You know, you have Grand Slams that are, you know, pinnacle of the sports, and you have World Tour Finals, and then you have, of course, Davis Cups and 1,000 events and so forth, and many big tournaments. But you know that this is probably the biggest match of the season next to the finals of Grand Slam. So I'm sure if he could have, he would be on the court now. I mean, I spoke to him, and also he doesn't know. It's a question mark for the Davis Cup final as well.
Novak, here. I would like to talk about you, about this number one achievement. You are 27 now. Do you know what will be your next goal in your career? Can we consider the French Open will be your main goal for the future? And do you think about maybe become I would say a legend between a legend, to be number one 5 times on this kind of challenge? Is it something you're thinking about?
Well, right now I'm at my pinnacle in the career, and I physically feel very fit. I'm very motivated to keep on playing on a very high level. So as long as it's like that, I'm going to try to use these years in front of me to fight for number one of the world, and to fight for, you know, biggest titles in sport. And Roland Garros is and was and still will be, you know, one of the biggest goals that I have, and keep on trying, of course. And any Grand Slam win is another page in the history books of this sport. And of course, being number one is also one of the biggest challenges and biggest goals a player can have.
Year and last year about your personal preference to see this tournament move around the world more often. Do you think one of the advantages that London has is that someone like Andy Murray is here, that there are so many former legends who are either around or it's easy for them to travel to the tournament because it's in London? Is that an advantage for it that they can step into?
Well, I don't think that traveling is extremely important matter when it comes to this tournament. Of course, London is one of the most important cities in the world. Of course, it's good when you have a tournament here, for tennis as well, because there's a long tennis tradition and history in this country. People love tennis, and they show their respect and appreciation to the players by coming in big numbers for Wimbledon and for World Tour Finals. And I want to say it again. The reason why I was saying I wanted this tournament to move around is because I feel like this is big leverage for ATP to use as a one of the ways to promote the sport. And best eight players in the world, you know, what more can you ask for if you are a fan of tennis and sport? And I'm sure this is one of the biggest events that we have in sport in general, because tennis is a very global sport. So, and I'm not saying that because I think it's not supposed to be here. In contrary, I have only praises for this event over the years. Since 2009, it has been an incredible success in this city. And the people would say, so why didn't change it? Why move it around? But, you know, I think it's still, you know, you need to give the opportunity to other big cities, and, you know, maybe some new markets, growing markets, emerging markets that start to support and love tennis, like China, Middle East, that can, you know, have facilities and have possibilities to host the event like this. And, you know, America has always been, again, a big market for tennis. So there are places, you know, they can always, and now that I know that they're negotiating the extension here, and or if they want to move this event around, I just wish that this event can and should be used the way it's used here in London, and it deserves to be one of the biggest tennis events and sporting events in the world.
Hello, Novik. You just mentioned about new market, and I have heard you tried to introduce the ATP 500 to your country, to your hometown, Belgrade. Is that true? But later you stopped doing that. If that's true, why? Could you tell me the reason? Because your acquaintances, they are looking forward to see you playing tennis in your hometown. Thank you.
We had two 250 category tennis tournament in our country for 4 years. In Belgrade, actually, my family has purchased the event from Amersfoort, which actually was the first tournament that I won in my career. It was a big success for the first year or two. After it was a little bit less, it was very difficult to economically sustain this level of the tournament at home, because you need players for that. You know, you need top players, people. After a while, you know, in Serbia, up to 10, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago, was not the country of tennis, and now it became. And so, after big success in both men's and women's tennis, they want to see big names in their country. If there is a tennis event, and fortunately, we couldn't afford to have the big names because of the week in the year. We were just before. Between the 2000 events on clay, so most of the big names were playing those big events, and they were not playing in between. So economically also, it was not, we couldn't afford really to have them. So that was one of the reasons we had to let the tournament go. But that doesn't mean that we closed the doors for the tournament in the future in our country, because, as I mentioned, Serbia, even if it's a small country, is a country that loves sport and tennis in particular lately. So I know how it feels to play Davis Cup and to be at home, play at home, and I wish that one day we can have even a higher category of the event there.
Novak, just to end on a lighter note, I guess you're going back to domestic duties with the baby, and how hands-on are you, and what surprised you the most with the baby and your new role as a father?
Well, I'm very hands-on. My wife told me what's expecting me, and yeah, I've seen it before I came to Paris and London. And I'm glad that I, during the stay here in London for these 10 days, I got a lot of sleep, because that will not be the case from now. But I'm looking forward to it. It's the most beautiful feeling to, you know, that I experience and my wife experience as well, holding a baby in your arms. So there'll be a lot of that without the racket in the next couple of weeks for me.